ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Did you see that? The Lord, your God, will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread. Wow, God had promised them this, right? That's what Rahab told these spies. The Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. As soon as we heard these things, what the God of Israel had done, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That is an amazing promise that God gave to the children of Israel. That if they follow the Lord, walk in His ways, He's going to drive out all the nations that are before them. Not only that, but fear will come upon the inhabitants of the land. They will fear the children of Israel. And here, what Moses told them was coming to pass. The people of Jericho, the leaders, down to the common people, were afraid. Their hearts melted. They lost courage. They put Jericho under lockdown. They understood who was on the side of the children of Israel. It was the God of the heavens and the earth. And there was nothing they could do except be fearful. They refused to turn to the Lord, except for Rahab and her family. And they knew judgment was coming. They knew it. And this is an awesome promise. Don't we see the promise of God in our lives as well? Absolutely. And when we see the promise that God has given to us come to pass, it strengthens our faith. And we'll talk more about that as we close our study this morning. But what I want to focus on now is this idea of the promise of God. And we've talked about this in our studies of Joshua. But here's the thing. We want that victorious Christian life. Well, then you have to not only place your hope in the promises that God has given to you, then you need to walk by faith. You need to live what you say you believe. Here's the problem. We see how many fall far short of coming through with the promises that they have made. And so, like I said, when it comes to God, we attribute that same quality to Him. God's not always faithful. He is most of the time, but not all the time. Now, we may not say it like that, but here's the thing. When you don't walk by faith, are you trusting in His promises to you? That's a huge one. What do the scriptures tell us about the faithfulness of God to His promises? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. Has He said it and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? Balaam tells us that God does not lie. He's not like man who lies and has to repent. God's perfect. There's no darkness in Him at all. And so what God says is truth. That's what Jesus said in John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So God's truth, He doesn't lie. And whatever He's told us in His word, we can trust. That means we can trust in the promises of God to us. Balaam said it. He said, has He said and will He not do? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? Of course. It is hard and probably impossible to walk by faith without trusting in the Lord. Let me explain it with this illustration. There was this tightrope walker, and this guy did some incredible aerial feats. I mean, just incredible stuff. All over Paris, he would do a tightrope act at scary heights. And then he would do it blindfolded and go across the tightrope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. Well, this American promoter read about this in the papers, and he wrote a letter to this guy who was a tightrope walker. And he said, tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls. Well, that's pretty impressive. He wrote back, sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come. Well, they did a lot of promotion and setting this whole thing up, and many people came to see the event. And Tightrope was the start on the Canadian side and then come to the American side. And, you know, they had all the drums rolling, and he came across the rope, which was suspended over the treacherous part of the falls, blindfolded. He made it across easily, and the crowds were going wild, and he comes to the promoter and says, well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it? And the guy said, well, you know, of course I do. I mean, I saw you do it. And the tightrope walker said, no. Do you really, really believe I can do it? He said, well, of course I do. You just did it. No, said the tightrope walker. Do you believe I can do it? And the promoter said, yeah. I mean, how many times do I have to tell you I believe you can do it? Well, tightrope walker said, good. Get in the wheelbarrow. Doesn't that change everything? It's really easy for us to tell others, just trust God. But when God tells us to do something that's difficult, we're afraid to get in the wheelbarrow, you might say, right? We're afraid to take those steps of faith. Do you believe in the promises that God has given to you? In fact, this whole idea of believe in the Greek, it means to live by. And, you know, we listen to that story, and it's a nice story. It's kind of humorous. It's funny. But how often do we say, yes, I believe what the Lord has said. I believe in His promises to us. And then, I don't want to get in that wheelbarrow. Are you kidding me? You know, we have to believe in the promises of God, rest in the promises of God, and then walk accordingly. I think I shared this on Thursday. Someone counted there's 3,573 promises of God in the Bible. Maybe more, we don't know, but that's what he counted. But think about it. Isn't he more than able to bring it to pass? Every single one of them. Absolutely. In the Old Testament, God promised to bless Abraham and through his descendants the whole world. Did he do that? Yes. This promise called the Abrahamic Covenant pointed to the coming Messiah for whom Abraham looked to. God promised Israel to be their God and make them His people. Old Testament history is teeming with examples of God fulfilling this promise. God promised that if we search for Him, we will find Him. He's not hard to get. Our God is near us wherever, whenever we pray to Him. God promised protection for His children. He was a watchman over Israel. God promised that His love will never fail. He's faithful, absolutely. God promised Israel that their sin could be forgiven, their prosperity restored, and their nation healed. Repentance would open that road to fellowship and blessing. God, under the terms of the Mosaic covenant, promised prosperity to Israel for obedience and destruction for disobedience. And they disobeyed, and we see it. Northern kingdom was taken in by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom by the Babylonians. God promised blessing for all who will delight themselves in His word. Yeah, simple faith has rewards. The New Testament, we see that God promised salvation to all who believe in His Son. The gift of salvation, wow. God promised that all things will work out for good for His children. That's a comfort, but it's also a promise. And when you're going through a difficult time, do you believe it? You see, it's really easy when everything is going well. So, of course, all things work together for good. But what happens? You know, you lose your job. Your marriage is a mess. Your kids are out of control. This is going on. That's going on. Do you truly believe that all things will work together for good to those who love the Lord? See, that's a promise of God that you have to get in the wheelbarrow and trust in Him. And that's the hard part. That's what the lessons God is teaching us as He was teaching the children of Israel. To cross the Jordan River during a flood stage, impossible. Oh, for man, not for God. To defeat the city of Jericho, impossible for these ex-slaves to defeat a nation as strong as that. But they would do it. because they walked by faith. In fact, as we'll see over the, you know, several weeks, the battle plans to take Jericho were the most foolish things in the world. And yet they obeyed the Lord, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, except for Rahab's house, which God spared from his judgment. Incredible. But they trusted in the promises of God, and they walked by faith. And there's so many promises that God has given to us. He promised to finish the work he started in us. I'm thankful for that. You should be thankful. Could you imagine if God did something halfway? No. The work he started in us, he'll complete. He promises to guard our hearts and our minds as we rest in him. He'll supply our needs. There's so many things, so many promises that God has given to us. And again, you know, it's really easy to say, yeah, I trust in his promises, I trust in him, until things get difficult. And I will guarantee you, your life will be difficult. There will be trouble that happen. It's just the way it is. I'm sure if we went around the room and talked, you shared with all the things going on in your life, it'd be tough. How are you getting through it? Are you trusting in what God has said? Are you walking by faith? Think about it. All the things that are going on, and yet I've got to do this. This is a ministry God's got me in. I just remember when my kids were growing up and they were just in rebellion, and it was really, really hard. And I was working at the hospital, and I was working here at the church, and some Thursday evenings, it would be like, are you kidding me? How am I going to do this? Lord, I'm just trusting in you. And he saw me through. Sunday mornings, chaos. And I have to go to work then at the hospital after this? Are you kidding? Trust in his promise. He'll give you the strength. But you have to walk. And that's always the hard part. Can't you just do this? Can't you just fix it? Well, the problem doesn't necessarily go away. You walk by faith, and he'll give you the strength, and he'll bring salvation to the situation that you're facing. Someone else had counted the promises of God, and they came to 5,467. Whatever they are, there's plenty of them in there. The problem is not the promises of God. The problem is, do we trust him? Will we get in the wheelbarrow? Will we walk by faith? And that's something we all have to decide. And it's, again, if it was easy, we wouldn't need the Lord. But do we really trust what he says? Let me ask you this. Here's a promise of God. That if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, are you saved? Yes, how do I know? Because it's a promise of God. Well, you trust in that one. What about the others? When it's affecting us, it's hard. Just as it was with the children of Israel. And again, we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. And so, you know, the rest of our time, we looked a little bit at the promises. We could spend years and years doing that. But we're going to look at the walk of the children of Israel 40 years earlier, and then their walk now, where they are at in here in Joshua. And think about it. 40 years earlier, the children of Israel were preparing to enter the promised land. They were right there on the border, man. They were ready to enter in. And Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan, and they came back with this awesome report. The land is great. It's wonderful. The fruit is abundant. It's unbelievable there. But, and isn't that our problem? That three-letter word, B-U-T, it always gets in the way. But there are giants in the land. But the people are great. Oh my gosh. But the cities are fortified. That's it. Strike three. And because of that, the report from 10 of the 12 spies, the children of Israel were discouraged. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, land's great, let's go get it. God gave it to us. There's trusting in the promise of God. But the 10 others, they discouraged the entire nation. So that we read in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4, So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Unbelief. They're upset with Moses and Aaron. "We should have died in the land of Egypt. We should have died in the wilderness." And then they blamed God. "Why did the Lord bring us here to die? It's His fault. And because you guys are following the Lord, we're getting rid of you. We're looking for other leaders so we can go back to the world, because the world loves us and will take care of us." Oh, yeah, what did the world have for you down there? You were a slave. You were eating leeks and onions. As much as I like onions, I'm not too sure about leeks. They're going into a land with milk and honey. How much better than leeks and onions, right? But it was unbelief. They saw their situation as hopeless. How are we going to defeat this enemy? We're not going to win these battles. We can't do it. And that was true. The Lord never told them to win the battles. But the Lord said, "Look, I'm going to give you this land. But you have to walk. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given to you. But you have to walk by faith." But their unbelief in the promises of God was so strong that they were willing to go back to be slaves in Egypt. They were willing to go back to the world for help instead of walking by faith and trusting in the Lord. And that's an important lesson. I mean, think about it. Have we ever been tempted to go back? "I can't do this anymore. And the world's tugging at us." The world wants to destroy you. The enemy hates you. And so he will tempt you to come back, so he can destroy you. Does God want to destroy you? No. In fact, I was working on a study this past week in Joshua dealing with God being for us. If God is for us, who's against us? When things happen in our life, is God trying to curse us? No. But he's working in us. Do bad things happen in our lives? Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Before you were a Christian, bad things happen in your life? Oh, they did? Really? Now that you're a Christian, do bad things happen in your life? Yes. What's the difference? Now I have someone I can lay all these burdens at his feet. I can place them at the feet of Jesus, and he can give me the wisdom to deal with the situation I'm in. He can give me the strength to deal with the situation I'm in. He can help me to walk by faith. And that's what's different. What does the world end up doing? How do they solve their problems? They drink. They take drugs. They do all kinds of things to numb themselves so they don't feel anymore. God wants you to feel. He wants you to feel what others are feeling so you will have compassion upon them. And as God brings you through those times, then you could go to others and say, "You know what? This is what the Lord showed me when I was going through this, and it was really hard. But this is what he showed me, and maybe this will help you." You could bring the comfort that God has given you to others. I love that. There are at least 170 references to the land that God gave to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At least 170 promises for this land to them. But they didn't believe. Unconditional covenant to them, 55 times. And 12 of those times it was an everlasting covenant. In Exodus 32:13, "Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will give your seed all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" But? No, there's no but in there. That's a promise. Exodus 33:1. The Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your seed.'" Leviticus 20:24, "You will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God." Leviticus 25:38, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. They did not enter the land because they had no promise that God had given it to them. God gave them many, many precious promises about the land being theirs. They just needed to walk by faith. But unbelief, because of that, they refused to get into the wheelbarrow. And that generation from 20 years old and up died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. They never entered the promised land. It was their children that entered in. Fear paralyzed them. It caused them to do what God had called them, or what God did not call them to do. God said, go into the land. They refused. And fear can do that. I don't know, you may have heard the story about, it was during a summer, and there was this severe, severe thunderstorm, and a mother was tucking in her small son into bed. She was getting ready to turn off the light when he asked in this trembling voice, you know, Mommy, Mommy, will you stay with me all night? And, you know, the mother smiled and gave him this warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, you know, I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. And there was this long silence, and then a shaky voice said, the big sissy. When we look at the faith of the children of Israel, do we think, what a sissy? How could they not enter in? Look at all the promises that God gave them. And then God, you know, shines the light on us, doesn't he? What's keeping you from walking? What's keeping you from entering into the land that I have given to you? What's stopping you from defeating those enemies that are waging war against your soul? You see, because this is really for us. God wants us to walk by faith and trust in his promises to us. And again, there's many promises that God has given to us. But some of these promises, and let me be clear on this, we don't have to pray about. They're promises of God. I'll give you an instance. Premarital sex. Please don't say, well, let me pray about it and see what God wants me to do. No, God said that sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's a sin. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There's nothing to pray about except for the strength to obey the Lord. He's told us what he desires. We need to walk accordingly. You know, a year or two ago, there were one of the churches in town had this big, wanted to have this big discussion about, is homosexuality, should it be accepted in the church as a normal lifestyle? Well, why are we discussing it? We don't have to. The Bible's clear on those things. You see, we can't, I guess we can challenge God on these things, but that's just ridiculous. Do you think God knows what he's doing? And if he doesn't know what he's doing, why are you calling yourself a Christian? Because here's his word. He has told us what he wants us to do, but now we're saying, hey, we live in a different time frame, a different society. We got to accept these things that God said was wrong because, you know, that was a few thousand years ago and things have changed. My God, who's created the heavens and the earth, has put the billions upon billions upon billions of stars in the heavens, numbered them and named them all, didn't know what I would need in 2018. I'm sorry, that may be your God, but that's not my God. He knows exactly what I need, and he's given it to me. And now he says, I want you to live it. I want you to walk by faith. Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. Kind of interesting. But you kind of get the idea something's not right here. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand. Just as I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do we have to think about that? Well, you know, I wonder if, you know, this jealousy or this contention or this outburst of wrath, I wonder if it's okay. No, it's a works of the flesh. You don't have to think about it. This is what God has said. And yet, again, we challenge God. The flesh is warring against the spirit. God has said what should be manifested in your life. The flesh and the spirit are fighting. What are you feeding? Are you feeding the flesh? Are you feeding the spirit? And whatever you're feeding will manifest itself in your life. We know that on the physical level. If I was to go to McDonald's every day and eat three meals at McDonald's every single day of my life, my body would reflect that, okay? And not in a good way. And the same is true. If you're feeding the flesh, spiritually speaking, what's manifested from your life is not going to be good. Now, do we have outbursts of wrath? Do we have some of these things? Yes, because the flesh is warring against the spirit. And sometimes we let the flesh win, don't we? But who are you going to surrender to? Spirit. Feed the spirit. Build up the inner man so these things come forth in your life that are of God, not of the flesh. You know, Paul in Galatians 5 goes on, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.